Son of God, teaching us to pray. Echoed words, Father, have your will, your way in me. Completely, we wholly trust your faithful provision. Amazing grace, mercy for our sins. May we forgive the way that you've forgiven us, O Lord, so we can.
Thank you, Vinny. It's beautiful and very appropriate for this Sunday as we open up our series on the Lord's Prayer. Thank you. You have, good selection. Yeah, good choice. Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to do this series because I feel I have lost this precious prayer since the pandemic hit. I miss saying this prayer with you, right? We would do it more often if we were able to feel comfortable about saying aloud in in-person worship and prayer meeting, hearing your voices, say this prayer with me, I would be assured that I'm not alone. And I miss this prayer so. And I know this prayer is a gift. What I mean by saying that this prayer is popped up from the Bible is that this prayer is a gift given by Jesus. And it is found in two places in the Gospels, Matthew 6 and Luke 11. In the Gospel of Luke, as we read today, Jesus gave this prayer when one of his disciples asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And some of you, like I did, might say that it seems that Jesus was not giving what the disciples expected. Perhaps the disciples wanted to know a kind of magic words that break a curse and bring in a blessing. We want them, don't we? We live in a time of pandemic. We are in some sort of a mess. We want God to get us out of it. And we certainly have a fairly pressing needs. And we want God to supply them. And so we wanted to have magic words to get us out of this mess and to bring new blessings from God. But this prayer does not provide us with a good strategy for getting what we want. Rather, this prayer is for bending our wants toward what God wants. In the first place, actually, prayer is not about begging or bargaining. It is all about relationship. In prayer, we come to God in Jesus' name. Yes, not on the ground of any goodness in ourselves, but on the ground of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of the Holy One. That way, probably it won't be wrong to say that every prayer we offer in Jesus' name is the Lord's Prayer, because Christ now has become our advocate with the one to whom we pray. But it is this prayer that is especially named the Lord's Prayer. The church calls it with confidence that this is a prayer that Jesus wants us to pray. And this is a prayer that Jesus wants to pray with us, his people. Thus now, though we join from different locations, let us say this prayer together. As we do so, may we experience that we are connected and united with Christ and with one another in prayer. So now let us say this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And I hope you have some hint about this prayer on this side of the screen, because we have a PowerPoint here, right? Yes. And in this message series, each week we will pause at one clause of this prayer. Think more deeply what it invites us to say and let it sink in our hearts and minds and spirit to enlighten us anew. And in my sermon, I will unpack what it means to say the clause of the week. And that way, I hope each week the message will help you not simply say the prayer, but mean it. And we will also say a new paraphrase of the Lord's Prayer each week. This prayer begins with these very simple words, Our Father. Let's take a moment to let these two simple words ring in us and let what it means to us be revealed. Our Father. Our Father. Picturing in mind that Jesus invites me to call his Father, our Father. As I prepare this message, I felt that Jesus, with his arms open, welcomes me and says, meet my Father. My Father is your Father. So now it's our Father. I know, but at the same time, to some of us, this is like a fishbone in your throat, because your memories of your biological father might have not been good. But painful because you have a problem with the use of a male pronoun in addressing God. That way, you may feel, how can the prayer of our Lord open with a male-oriented title and a patriarchal mode of address? Let me say first, your feeling is understandable. And also, let me point out that 2,000 years ago in Palestine, when Jesus' disciples heard this prayer, starting Our Father, they would have responded differently. And I will say a little bit more about it. Their religious leaders, Jewish religious leaders, wouldn't call God in such an intimate name as a Father. The religious leaders with the power prohibited speaking God's name because God's name was regarded as too sacred to be uttered. Thus, in prayers, in their public religious rituals, they would pronounce only the vowel points of the word Yahweh, or the word Adonai, which means my lords. Yes, it is a plural noun, but not by number, but a plural of a majesty. And in discussion and conversation in their daily lives, that word replaced by Hashem, which means, can you guess what this means? Hashem means just a name. Okay, again, because they were prohibited speaking God's name. Having this knowledge of the context, you can see how radical it must be in Jesus' day to call in prayer the Holy God, Abba, meaning Father, in the Aramaic language, which was the everyday tongue in the land of Mesopotamia. If we go a bit deeper, we see the Hebrew word, the written language, Hebrew word for Father, which is Avinu, was used in the Hebrew scripture to refer to God only by two great leaders, Moses and Isaiah. In the book of Deuteronomy, we hear Moses say to the Israelite in the wilderness, do you repay the Lord, again Yahweh, O foolish and senseless people? Is not he your Father who created you, who made you and established you? Moses could say it this way because at first it was God who told Moses that God was their Father. In Exodus chapter 4, when Moses stands boldly before Pharaoh, he says, this is what the Lord says. Israel is my oldest son. I said to you, let my son go so he could worship me. It is the same with the prophet Isaiah's use of the word Father for God. In chapter 63 in the book of Isaiah, you, O Yahweh, are still our Father. You are our Redeemer from ages past. He continues in the following chapter, chapter 64. Our potter is you. The clay is what we are. You are our Father, O Yahweh, Lord. We all are formed by your hand. Isaiah boldly proclaimed it because he was told by God first, that God set his relationship with the people that way. As we love this passage, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Now says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine, and I am your Father. So, when Jesus told his disciples to call God as a Father, then they must have understood that he wanted his people to know first to whom they belong, to whom they belong, and see their redemption, liberation, and freedom rise on the horizon from the Father. this father doesn't hold a dominating sway among his children. This father doesn't treat his children like slaves. Rather, he helps them to set off on their path in freedom and respects their need for growth, though it also involves pain. So please know that God is addressed as a father, not because God is masculine, but by his name, God is known to us as, maybe this word might be better to some of you, householder, one who takes the responsibility for a family and oversees the affairs of the family as the father claims them as theirs. Now, yeah, as you turn to God in your thought and prayer, let's say, Father, or another name that reminds you of your belongingness to God, of God's claim on you, and of God's provision of life and freedom. Yes, that way, some of you might want to say mother, or in a more childlike word, like a dad, or Graham. Yes, let's do it. Let it sink in us for a moment as we say, Father, 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 my mother. Yes, personally, I have mixed feelings with my biological father. But when we say this word in our prayer to God, all your anxieties, all your bondage, all your worries, may you be able to leave them to this Father. He knows what we need. And Jesus, the Son, speaks for us, our prayer, to God the Father. And one more thing that I want you to notice in the first clause of the Lord's Prayer is that we ought to say the word Father not as my Father, but as what? Our Father. I'm not the only child of this God. Truly none of us is. This God is a father of all. My father, and that of my brothers and sisters, and even of my enemies. Pope Francis reminds us in his book titled Our Father that if, I quote, if we are not at peace with our brothers and sisters, we cannot say Father to God. Yes, it must be hard to utter the name of God, our Father, if we have enemies. Acceptance is not easy. But this prayer is not like a court testimony. With this prayer, what we do is ask for God's help as we bring our struggles and a troubled heart to God with courage and honesty. Jesus is inviting us to turn to the Father with this prayer so that we can discover who we are and live as his true children and as brothers and sisters together. Yes, you might want to stop here because you already have good sermon, right? But in the following phrase, some different feelings bring in. While with the first two words, our Father, we feel the warmth of our intimacy with God in our community. Now, with the phrase that follows, who art in heaven, we feel sort of distance, don't we? Yes, here Jesus says another dimension to our relationship to God. He clarifies the eternal nature of this God of ours. And it calls upon us to praise and glorify his name. So a phrase on God's holiness follows. Hallowed be your name in another modern translations. May your holy name be honored. Yes, God is to be worshipped and exalted above everything and everyone. And only when we are confident that we are children of God, heirs of God, we can say these words of praise, not with the fear of being rejected. Not with the fear of being rejected. Let's come back to the parent analogy. Every parent knows that in order to be a good parent, you must not only be very close to your children, like listening to them and spending time with them and talking to them, you must also be at some distance from your children, right? Disciplining them, advising them, and reminding yourselves of parents that your children are not mere extension of you. God manages to do that with us. And as long as we know that this is what God the Father does out of love, we can rest assured in our intimacy with God. To conclude with these opening words of the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, we turn to God, whose name is both holiness and mercy, both transcendence and immanence, both godly fear and parent love, both reverence and intimacy, both revolution and comfort. Jesus wants us to say this prayer with him, with the confidence that even if we feel we don't deserve, we are claimed as God's children by the one to whom yesterday, today, and tomorrow all belong. So what a privilege and joy to be invited and welcomed to the household of God and to the reign of God. So don't seek magic words in your prayer time. Here is a prayer that you can say in the presence of the Spirit of God and over one another. So what a sweet hour our prayer time is with this precious prayer. So let us sing now, sweet hour of our prayer.